Hi, my name is Danielle Scruggs, and this is How I Create.
Welcome to This Is How We Create. Today on the show, we have Danielle Scruggs on the podcast. Danielle is a photo editor currently at Wall Street Journal. During our discussion, she talks to us about her influences in life and how she went from a degree in journalism to becoming a photo editor, as well as to freelancing as a photographer. Danielle is also at the helm of Black Women Directors, a directory of Black women and non-binary filmmakers. Danielle shares with us great tips from the viewpoint of a photo director in terms of how to approach an assignment. She also shares one thing that she's learned in life thus far that's completely changed the way that she relates to herself and to her work and the work that she does. I hope you'll enjoy this episode with Danielle Scruggs. Welcome back to This Is How We Create. My name is Martine Severin, your host. Today, we have Danielle Scruggs on the podcast. Danielle Scruggs is a photo editor at the Wall Street Journal and a freelance photographer based in Chicago. She graduated from Howard University with a degree in journalism and from the Maryland Institute College of Art with a master's degree in digital art. Danielle attended Kalish workshop for visual editing and the New York Times portfolio review in 2018. Her photography clients include the New York Times, People, ABC News, AARP, Bon Appetit, The New Republic, BuzzFeed News, and Vice. She has exhibited her personal work across the U.S. and has been an artist in residence at the Vermont Studio Center, Center for Photography at Woodstock, Birdcliff, and the Wasiak Project. She has written about visual culture and film for RogerEbert.com, Ebony, Teen Vogue, The Tribe, and other publications. Danielle is the founder and editor of Black Women Directors, a digital library highlighting the work of Black women and non-binary filmmakers. Welcome to the podcast, Danielle.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Danielle, I'm so pleased to have you here on the podcast. I have the pleasure of knowing you because you are from my hometown. Well, not my hometown, my adopted town of Chicago. And anybody who's ever basked in the presence of Danielle is a lucky person indeed. So I do consider myself lucky. Can you tell us the story of growing up in Rogers Park and how you fell in love with art and photography?
So I have my parents to credit for that. Growing up, they always took me to museums. I'm very lucky to live in the same city as the Art Institute. And also my dad was a photographer when he was in the Army. So growing up, I was just always surrounded by cameras. He taught me how to use his Pentax when I was still in elementary school. So from a very young age, I just like always was surrounded by art, had like a curiosity about like art and science. And my parents both like really like kind of fostered that sense of curiosity.
So you went to Howard for journalism. Can you talk to us and tell us the story how you came to study journalism?
Yeah, so actually I got started in journalism when I was still in high school. I joined a teen newspaper called New Expression. It was for Chicago teens, and teens from like across the city would like come to like to Columbia College in the South Loop. And we had like a little office there. Yeah, like that's kind of where I learned the basics of reporting, editing, photo editing, even though I didn't quite know it at the time that that's what I was doing, but that is what I was doing. And so, yeah, I kind of did like a little bit of everything there. Like I did photography, writing, copy editing. And so, yeah, actually, when I went to Howard, I was originally going to study to be a copy editor. And but I ended up having other plans. that's how I got my start in journalism.
Why copy editing specifically? What was it about copy editing that kind of drew you to Howard? Or I guess if I think that there are very few 18-year-olds ascending into college who would know about copy editing. Can you tell us about that first?
Oh, sure. Originally, I wanted to do kind of like traditional reporting and writing. When I got to college, I started working at the Hilltop newspaper. So I was like a writer. I was kind of doing like a little bit of everything. Like I was writing, editing, not really taking photos at that point because I just didn't think I was good enough. But yeah, with copy editing, I just really like the idea because like I just like love language and like I really love kind of like figuring out like how to put things together and like how to make things like how can I like I improve this or like how can I like sharpen this. So copy editing was something that I think it was like around my sophomore junior year of college that I thought like, oh, like that's something I could do. Like instead of going like the reporter route, like I can like kind of lean into like this like love that I had of like language and like figuring out like, oh, how can I like make something better, or make something sharper, or make something like easier to understand.
Can you talk to us about what a photo editor does? Because then I think that probably ties in really well with learning journalism and now being a photo editor.
Yeah. So with a photo editor, kind of wears a lot of hats. So part of it is doing photo research. So like looking on wire agencies to like research photos that have like already been taken for like places like Getty, Associated Press, things like that. And then another part of the job is hiring photographers like to kind of like visually report on a story that like a text reporter is working on. And so a big part of the job is kind of figuring out, okay, who has the best voice, I guess, for lack of a better word, for this particular story? And like, how does this person's style, how does what this person specialize in, like, how will this like enhance the text of the story that like you're photo editing for? So that's like a part of the job. And then another part of the job is like actually like putting together the story in like a visual way. So like you're actually like, yeah, like creating a visual story with like their photos and sometimes with illustration as well, but I haven't really been doing that as much lately. Yeah, so I would say like those are kind of like the main components. And then like there's also like the unsexy like administrative stuff you have to do. Like you're taking care of invoices, you're arranging travel, you're troubleshooting, like if someone's like having, you know, issues in the field while they're shooting. So yeah, you're kind of wearing a lot of hats like in one job. So yeah. So
can you talk a little bit about what makes a photographer very successful in terms of being able to accomplish whatever it is that you set out for them to do?
Like, well, first of all, like reading the story and like kind of making sure that like you have a good understanding of like what the tone of the story is, like kind of looking for photographers who like can match that tone of the story. Because, you know, like you, like if someone has like really great photos, but like they're like, you know, flashy and vibrant and pop, you know, kind of like pop images, you don't want to like send them for a story that's about something like really somber and sober. It's not so much about like, oh, like you don't like their photos. It's just like, oh, like this isn't going to quite fit like the tone for like this particular story. So a lot of it is really just like kind of looking at, you know, who makes sense for like a particular story, like who makes sense for like a particular tone that the writer is going for, what kind of feeling that you want people to have like as like they're moving through the story. Because also, like, I mean, I think like a big part of the job of a photo editor is to make the photographer look like their best too. So it's like you want them to keep getting work, like you want them to like succeed in this industry. And so, you know, that's like why like I like with photo editing, like a really big part of it is like making sure like you're getting the right person for the right story. So then like you can make them look like their best too.
So that was a really great response, Danielle. And I wonder when you have to put on the hat of the photographer because you freelance, how do you approach your assignments?
Just trying to make sure that I'm getting everything that a photo editor is going to need. So I think like working as a photo editor has made me a stronger photographer, and then vice versa. I think working as a photographer has made me a stronger photo editor. I try to keep in mind like everything that a photo editor is going to need to like tell a visual story. And so I approach my assignments by trying to make sure, okay, you know, get the main thing, of course, like, you know, whatever it is that we talked about here is like must have shots that we need. And then like, I'll also try to like, I almost kind of think of it in terms of like film. So like, I try to make sure, okay, get wide shots, get medium shots, get close-ups, get details, like get as much things as a photo editor will need to be able to like move through the story and like tell the story like as completely as you can. So that's how I approach my assignments. And I think, like I said, like I think like working as a photo editor, it's like made me that much more aware of like, oh, okay, like they're gonna need whoever the photo editor is, like they're gonna need, you know, a lot of different kinds of photos to be able to like tell the story. And then sometimes like, you know, I try to make sure to like get something for myself too. So, you know, of course, like I make sure that I get like all the photos that I needed for the assignment. And then if I can, if I have time, I try to like sneak in some stuff that's like, could work for just like for my personal portfolio. Or if I just see something personally that's like really interesting, but it doesn't really have to do with the assignment, I'll still try to get it just like for myself. So, yeah.
So in the case that you submit the photos that you get for yourself, how often do they get picked to go along with the story?
Not often, but it has happened before. Like there was like this one photo assignment I was on for Vice. It was this like mud wrestling league in Chicago. At the end of the event, I like took photos of everyone, you know, like cleaning up and like, you know, kind of like the let out basically. And so like, I kind of took that just for myself really. Cause like, I just thought like, oh, like this is interesting to me. Like, I don't know if it's going to be interesting to the photo editor, but they ended up using one of those photos. So, like you never really know like what is going to end up being chosen. So that's why I try to make sure to like get enough variety too. So it's like, okay, everyone has what they need.
So you have had like a varied career, both being freelance and now being more on the side of being a photo editor. I'm wondering if there are some things that you've, or either habits or skills that you've picked up along the way that really are essential that you've come to rely on for your continued success.
I would say staying curious, like making sure to read a lot, you know, looking at, as far as like finding new photographers to work with, like looking at like a variety of sources. So like, you know, checking out the cut lines, like in a magazine that I'm reading, or, you know, if I see like a billboard or something, like try to research like, oh, who took that photo? Like, that's like really interesting. That's actually how I found someone for an assignment that ended up like winning awards and everything, because like I saw her work on a billboard and like I like did some research because I was like, I gotta find out who took these photos, because like these are like, they're not like typical like kind of commercial photography. It was like very like quiet kind of work, and I was like, that's so interesting that that's like on a billboard. So like, I gotta figure out who this is. So yeah, I think like a lot of it is just like staying curious, just like keeping an eye out for things. I think like that's like what's helped me be successful as a photo editor. And just like being curious in general, just like reading a lot about politics and culture, kind of knowing what's, I just like to know what's going on about things. Like even if it's like frivolous things, I just like to know. So, and I think like kind of having that level of curiosity is like what's helped me. I think like it's made me a stronger photo editor and photographer overall.
One of the things about you that I recently learned is that one of your favorite films is Killer of the Sheep.
Can you tell us about that movie? It's about a man who works in a slaughterhouse, like literally killing sheep. It's really more about like LA life at the time, because it was filmed in, I want to say 76 or 77. And so you have like this really almost kind of like documentary kind of look and feel into what LA, specifically Black LA, like what it used to look like back in the 70s. It's just like this really beautiful, quiet film about a family and kind of all like the challenges that they face. But also not just the challenges, but also just like just everyday things that happen in their lives. It's really, and it's shot beautifully. Like it's all in black and white. It's all 35 millimeter, I believe. I think like what I like about Charles Burnett's work in general is it's quiet. It's quiet, but it's really powerful. Like there's not like a lot of bombastic things happening in his work, but the observations he makes about family and interiority, I think is like just really beautiful. So he's one of my favorite filmmakers.
Tell us more about your love of film. You are the person behind Black women directors. So I'm really curious as to all that, how it all came about. So I'm sure it starts with your love of film. Tell us more.
I mean, I think it's just something that I've always loved. Like, you know, going to the movies with my family, like used to be an event, you know, like even, because I mean, I don't know how old or young your listeners are, but back in the day, even just like renting movies used to be an event. So I don't know if anyone remembers going to Blockbuster Video and like picking out the movie and, you know, comparing like, oh, like you want to get that one? Oh, which movie do you want to get? And getting like, I'm sure it was bad for you popcorn, but it, you know, tasted great. And so, yeah, like that's like definitely like a core memory I have. It's like either going to the movie theater and like having that be like a big event, or going to Blockbuster and like having that be a big event too. I just like love movies. Like I just love being kind of like encapsulated in a story for like a, you know, a period of time. It's kind of like similar to reading too, like when you get kind of, you're just like in the story and you're just like involved with the characters and everything. So it's the same thing with like movies too. Like you're just like, you know, for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, you're just like immersed in this story. And then, you know, and then of course, like I just pay attention to visuals a lot. And so I actually get a lot of inspiration from my photography from film a lot of the times. Like I'm like a lot of times like I study like, oh, like this is like how they decided to frame this, or like, oh, like that's a really interesting lighting choice. Like I wonder if I could like try to recreate that. I definitely am not successful at it all the time, but just like taking inspiration from like kind of like looking at framing and like looking at like, oh, like this is like a really interesting way that they like chose to like frame this person or frame like this landscape or something like that. So, love film.
So Black Women Directors is a digital library that highlights, as we mentioned, both Black women directors as well as non-binary filmmakers. Can you tell us when you first had the idea for this?
Yes, back in 2015, I originally started it as a Tumblr because it was just like from my own curiosity, because like I wanted to find out more, specifically about like Black women filmmakers, because a lot of times like with the conversation in film, like it's still like very male dominated. And then I noticed when people talked about women filmmakers, they were usually talking about white women, and like they weren't talking about women of color, really weren't talking about Black women. And so I was thinking to myself, like, well, I want to learn more about this. Whatever I find out, I'm gonna, you know, put on this Tumblr, and like really as like a reference for myself. Like I didn't think anyone was gonna like notice it, but like people like started writing about it. Like Blavity wrote about it, like a couple of other places wrote about it, and I was like, oh, like I really just made this for myself. So yeah, mainly like the idea just came out of like me wanting to learn more, and then it turned out that it was a resource that other people wanted too. And I do want to say, though, that like this was also kind of inspired by Sisters in Cinema, which is a website and documentary made by Yvonne Wellbon, who's also based in Chicago. She had a website that will focus specifically on Black American women filmmakers. And so I kind of wanted to like expand that and like kind of look at like the whole diaspora, like who's, you know, who's out there, who's not just in the United States, but also, you know, in the Caribbean or in the UK or, you know, the African continent. Like I really wanted to like kind of know like, okay, there has to be more out there than just like what I'm seeing in, you know, the trade magazines and everything. So yeah, like that's like where the inspiration came from. And it really just kind of took off. And then I made it a standalone site a few years ago because platforms come and go. And so I wanted it to be I really wanted it to be like a real resource. And so like if someone goes to the website, they can, you know, they have like all this information in one spot.
Did you do the branding for it, or did you have a designer help you with the branding for Black women directors?
Oh, I worked with the designer. Yeah. I worked with Sarah Stress, part of Good and Ready. And I worked with her to create like a whole new look and feel for the site because I really wanted it to kind of convey like authority and like convey that, you know, this is, again, like this is a resource that people can go to and, you know, learn more about Black women and non-binary filmmakers. We collaborated and she came up with the branding. I love it. So I'm really happy that the site looks a lot closer to like, you know, what I always wanted it to look like. I just didn't have like the design skills to do it myself. So yeah.
Oh, it looks really wonderful. It seems to have a very definitive voice and like you said, very authoritative in what it does and the people that it is highlighting. Danielle, I would love for you to share with us about what you have planned for Black women directors in the future.
Yes. Well, I really want to get into film programming. I'm not entirely sure how to do that, but that is something that I would love to do. Just like put together a program of shorts by Black women and non-binary filmmakers, or kind of like program like a part of a festival that like focuses on work by Black women and non-binary directors. Because, you know, something that I've learned from doing this is that there's just such like a diversity and variety of like the kind of work that is being put out by Black women and non-binary directors. You have like animation, you have like drama, you have sci-fi, you have romance. Like there's just so many different things that are being, you know, that are being done with like their different styles, different approaches. And so I really want to highlight that like everything isn't just the same. You can't just like kind of, you know, glom everything together and say like, oh, this is a movie by a Black woman. It's like, no, like there's like such a variety. Like, there's so much diversity within that one group. So like, let's show it off. So I would love to do that. Actually something else that I've had in mind is like kind of maybe making a film of my own, like doing a documentary about Black women filmmakers. So that's like one of those like kind of pie in the sky things. I don't know, like I don't know if I can like actually do it, but that is something that I've thought about a lot.
Have you heard of Mezcla? It's a collective in Chicago, and it's a collective of filmmakers, women filmmakers, and I'm a member. And I'm learning to make. I wrote a screenplay last year because I want to make my first film. And I thought this would be pretty simple. It's kind of like planning any photo shoot where a lot of it has to do with the production side, right? Turns out it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. But it's nice to be very naive, because when you're naive, you can do things, because if you really understood how hard things are to do, then you would never start. So I'm still in my naive phase. And in doing research, I found Mess Club. And through the meetings, I've met different people. And there's one person in particular that I will connect you with. And her name is Cindy, and she's a producer here in Chicago. And she's helped me produce some photo shoots. I will connect you with Cindy, who is a producer here in Chicago, who is very well connected in the film space. And I think that she would be a really wonderful, she would be a wonderful resource. And I think she lives in Rogers Park too. So yeah, you'll love her. She's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really excited for all. Oh, totally. Totally. I'm excited for all that you have coming up. I mean, honestly, there's, whenever I talk to you, there's always something that you're doing. And I, whenever you start talking about whatever it is, I know it's going to be really great. So one of the things that I'd love to talk to you about, Danielle, next, before we log off, is, can you talk to us either about a recent book that you've learned or an outlook that you have adopted that has had a profound influence in your life?
Oh, for sure. This is actually, something that my therapist told me a while ago that's like really stuck with me ever since, because I recently had a professional experience where I kind of feel like I just face planted. I just felt like I did not do a good job, like I failed, like this is bad, like I'm bad, like it was just, I was like kind of spiraling. And something that she told me that's like stuck with me ever since is that she said, you know, instead of looking this at this as like you failed and that's it, it's like look at this as a learning experience. Like look at this as you got information on parts of yourself where you excel and parts of yourself where you didn't excel. And that's not like, that's not to say you need to make a value judgment on yourself. Like that's not to say like you failed. It just means like you learned a lot about yourself, like in this experience. And, that's something that's like really, it really did like kind of completely do like a 180 shift. Like I was like, oh, it's a learning experience. And you can apply that to so many different things, like, you know, regarding like relationships or like regarding work, like regarding anything. It's like you're always like learning something and you're always like learning something about yourself too. And like you're learning about other people or like you're learning about, you know, things that you can like take away to like make sure you don't stumble in the future if you stumbled in like a certain experience. And so, that perspective like really just like completely shifted, my thinking. Cause like it also like helped me go into situations, like new situations where it's like, okay, just think of this as you're learning. Just think of this as this is like an opportunity for you to like learn something else about yourself or like learn something about like other people. So yeah, that I would say like that perspective, like, yeah, completely shifted like my way of like looking at things and like looking at, not so much thinking like you have to perform or like you have to be perfect, but just looking at things from a perspective of, I'm here to learn. And like, what can I learn today? So yeah.
What a wonderful gift that you got.
It helped. It helped me tremendously too. Yeah.
I'm so pleased that you were able to have someone to share an experience with and to give you a different window, a different lens or way to look at yourself.
Exactly.
So Danielle, we talked about what is next for Black women directors. I'd love to hear what's next for you. What are you up to?
Still just working. With the presidential election. Just like a lot of focus on that. Working on that. Working on trying to make time for like personal projects as well. There's like this project that I've been working on about my family, and like I've been like finding all kinds of like census records and everything, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I want to do with all these materials, because I have like all these old photos, I have all these old records, and so I'm still trying to figure out like how I want to piece them all together, like how I want to present them together. So still working on that, but that's like a personal project I've been kind of working on in the background for a while now. So yeah.
Well, then I think you'll really love talking with Cindy, because she's Filipina, and the project that she's working on, she's making a film on the life of her father. And she recently went to the Philippines and spent a few months there as a filmmaker, learning and going all around. You'll really love talking with her.
I'm really looking forward to that. Like that's amazing too, to be able to like do a project like on your family, because like that can be kind of difficult to do. So that's like really, yeah, like that's really cool that she's like pursuing that.
Well, Danielle, thank you so much for joining us. I really enjoyed talking with you, even with the technical difficulties we had during this episode. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.